We are holding on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, the third line, the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the first Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shachat v'la Kisav, a person shechted, and he didn't do Kisya Adam, but oh, Acher, and somebody else sees it, Chayav l'chassis, then he has to do the Kisri, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, about the Cheresh Shoit v'katan, where somebody else was watching it. In other words, the point is, you know, the previous Mishnah told us about a cheresh shoit v'katan, where they're not capable of doing it themselves. Here we're talking about where the first person was perfectly capable of doing it, and then for whatever didn't, nevertheless, somebody else needs to do it. He saw what happens if the shoit did cover it properly, even the gala, and then it got uncovered, the dirt blew away or whatever. Potter melechasis, and he's potter from covering it, because he did it once, and that's enough. He saw a ruach, but if the wind covered it, if the wind blew dirt over it, chayev lechasis, then he has to cover it again, as the Gemara is going to tell us, if it got uncovered. If the wind that blew the dirt on later on blew it away, then he has to do a kisi adam again. So the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan." We learn in a Braisa. The pasuk says, "V'shochach l'chisa," that he should spill and he should cover. From that you learn, "Misha shochach l'chasa," the one who spilled the blood, the one who shechted, is supposed to be the one who does the kisi adam. Shochach v'lechisa, if he shechts but does not do kisi adam, v'ra'o'achar, and somebody else sees him, and I shechay v'chasa, how we know that he has to do the kisri? Shenema, because the pasuk says. But Oymar, the Bnei Yisrael, Hashem continues, I told Bnei Yisrael, he says that I told them not to eat blood, but also we can learn that it refers back to that I told Bnei Yisrael, as Haralach Bnei Yisrael, so this is a warning to all the Bnei Yisrael, first of all, not to eat the blood, but also that you need to do Kisi Adam if you find it uncovered. When we go, for example, to Kaparis, it's quite common, for example, most of the time, if not always, that the Shoichet leaves it to you to do the Kisya Dam. The Pashtos, that's the Pashtos, that's it. This way you have the opportunity, you, the one who brought the Kapara, has the opportunity to do the Kisya Dam for yourself in the end, get the mitzvah, so therefore he's merkel to you in the first place. Okay, the Gemara says Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa. So here's another thing we learn from that expression v'shofach v'chisa, that it says you should pour and then right away it says you should cover. Shofach is domei v'chisa. The point is, in other words, like you have the two verbs back to back. From that we learn about mash shofach v'yichasa. The same thing that he spilled with his hand, because he shefted with his hand, is what he should be doing the kisi adam with. From which we learn, and as we learned earlier in the sefer, in the first parak, shkita has to be done with your hand in the sense that you can't just have, for example, an automatic turning wheel or something and chef with it, you have to have koyach adam involved somehow. So your hand ultimately was used directly or less directly for the shechita, and that same the hand should also be used for the kisya adam. From which we learned, now we learned yesterday, it is possible to, for example, be shechting with one hand and you kiss the adam with the other. That's fine, a hand is a hand, but at least it has to be. The point is, don't cover it with your foot, even though it would be a natural thing, how you cover something on the ground. The dirt is often, you kick dirt over it, but here you shouldn't do that. So that mitzvah should not be something contemptible for you. You need to do mitzvahs in a respectful way. You don't definitely need to use your hand. And Amman points out you could also use the knife, for example. So now you're not going to use the blade of the knife. You're going to nick it, of course. It means, in other words, you might use the handle of the knife, let's say. Chassam Sofer actually gives an interesting explanation that part of the reason for Kisi Adam is because the Goyim would gather the blood together and say that Shadim would gather there, and therefore Hashem tells us that they have to cover them with dirt. So now you should think maybe you should cover it with dirt, because just the opposite. They're trying to honor it and bring Shadim there, and you should show it, and you should show that it's not honorable. But no, the Torah is telling you it is a mitzvah after all, and you have to do it with your hand to show respect for the mitzvah. And in fact, the Rambam generalizes from that at the end of Hilchos Shechita, when he talks about these dinim, you have to be careful to show respect for mitzvahs and do them in a respectful and proper way. Okay, the Gemara says Tanya Yidach, then we learn yet another braisa. When it says v'shafach v'chisa, and again these two verbs back to back, means mishashafach v'yichasenu, means that means the one who spilled the blood, the shoichet, is supposed to be the one who does the kisi adam, as we said in the Mishnah. It happened once, that one time, of course, he shechted and didn't have a chance yet. Now, in the Mishnah, we said that if he didn't do it, then any other Yid who passes by should do it. But now what we have is somebody shechted, and before he had a chance to do Kisi Adam, somebody else jumped in and did the Kisi Adam, the Chibur, Ram Gamliel, looking like a Sora Zehovin. And Ram Gamliel required this person, the interloper, to give the shochet 10 gold coins for having taken away the mitzvah from him. Which now the Gemara is going to get into a discussion about that, whether is the 10 gold coins for the mitzvah itself. He took away a schar from him. He took away from him a schar for the mitzvah. The Gemara is now going to go on to ask whether we mean the schar of the mitzvah as a whole, or whether we mean the schar specifically that he missed out on the bracha. Now, Tosfos says, why? Just give him another bird, let him shecht it, another bird or a wild animal, and then and let him shecht that, and then he'll make the bracha, and you'll kiss your dam on that. The answer is that would be a different mitzvah. The first mitzvah is gone. Tosfos goes on to say that nowadays, both the Dinim don't have the ability to assess that fine of 10 gold coins, because in general, we have both the Dinim have only limited ability to judge Dinim Nefoshis nowadays, only things that are common, only whether it was an actual, hefsid. But nevertheless, Poskim can point out that if he does grab the 10 Zehuvim and Tofas in Mitzia Miyada, if he does take the 10 Zehuvim from the other person, then basically not going to take it away from him, because again, in principle, it should have been assessed. Some Rishonim learn that 10 Zehuvim is always a fixed amount. Others say that it really varies according to circumstances, and it so happened that Rav Gamliel over here assessed him at 10 Zehuvim. Now, it's not even the Chassam Sofer goes on to point out, it's not actually the value of the mitzvah. Because, especially anyway, he says, Oinus Rahmana Patre, the Torah actually considers it as though he did the mitzvah because of the Oinus. So what did he make the person lose? But still, the point is, in other words, that now he doesn't have the simcha of the Torah, he has that tzar, therefore, that he feels bad that he didn't do the mitzvah, and for that you have to compensate him. With that said, Rav Menashe Klein of Mishnah Halachas has an interesting chap on it. He says that maybe that whole point of that the Torah considers it as though the person did it despite the Oinus, maybe that would only be if the Oinus was Bidei Shamayim, as opposed to if it was Bidei Adam, in this case over here, where it was a person that got involved over here and took away the mitzvah from him. Maybe, in fact, we would say that it's not considered as though he did. Maybe, in fact, it would not be considered the mitzvah. And there's a swara behind that. There's a swara why indeed we would say that distinction. If it was Bidei Adam, then it's not that there was about that other person had Bechira, and therefore we can't say so much that it was Bidei Shemayim, that it was taken away from him, and therefore it means that he doesn't get credit for the mitzvah at all, and therefore this person actually has to pay him for the mitzvah. Tosfos goes on to say, by the way, what about, for example, somebody's supposed to get an aliyah and somebody jumps in instead and takes the aliyah? That would be a different thing than he'd be poster, because everybody is chayiv in Kriyas HaTorah, as opposed to not everybody over here is chayiv in shechting. You want to shecht, then you shecht. But over here, everybody is chayiv in Kriyas HaTorah, so in that sense, therefore, you can't really say that he took away a mitzvah that specifically pertained to the other person. Even if he jumped in and took the aliyah that was supposed to be the Kriyan, Tosfos says, and still the same thing. Okay, so now the Gemara says he bought Yilahu. So now we have the question: is 10 gold coins? Why dafka 10 gold coins? Ben Yehoyada over here finds a remez in it that the bracha calculates. The bracha has 25 letters in it. One of them is equal to 10, because everything in Kedusha is 10, and he makes a whole elaborate calculation of how that comes out to the equivalent of each gold dinar is equal to 25 silver. Comes out that he's paying him 250 silver dinar, corresponding to all that. So the Gemara says he borrowed the hoose, and now we have a question. Schar mitzvah, what is he paying the 10 gold coins, or whatever the amount is? Is it for the fact that he denied the person the schar for the mitzvah, or schar bracha, or is it the fact that he denied him the schar of the bracha? So he must have a mind naftamina. Well, what's the difference? Either way, he's paying the 10 gold coins. And the answer is Lebirkas HaMazon. The naftamina would be as far as benching. If he was supposed to be the one leading benching, and in those times, the way that it usually worked was the leader of a mezuman would say the whole benching, and everybody else would just answer omen after the brachas. Remember, you know, they didn't have sidurim or benchers or anything then, so not everybody knew the brachas by heart. So you'd have one person who'd say the brachas, and he would see everybody. So now, and benching contains four brachas. If you say it's a schar mitzvah, then he has to pay him one time 10 gold coins, because he took away that one mitzvah from him. But if you say it's a schar for the brachas, well then, aboyim, then he has to pay him 40, because there are four brachas over there. So the Gemara says, "My, so what would be the story as far as that? Does he have to pay him the 10, or does he have to pay him the 10 or the 4? So now actually one of the things that this din is actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, although with the caveat that again nowadays Bate Dinim don't necessarily have the power to enforce this kind of thing, only if Tofas, only if the wronged person took away the 10 Zehovim or 40 or whatever from the other person, then we're not going to make him give it back. But the Shach actually in this connection points out that why he has to answer Amen, and isn't Amen itself considered even greater than saying the Bracha? So he says, say, for example, the person actually threw the other one out of the house and locked the door, and so now he literally couldn't even say Amen, he deliberately said the brachas quietly so that the person couldn't answer Amen. So the Gemara says, Mai, so what would be the din about that? So the Gemara says, Tashma, we can prove from the following story. It starts out like this. The Rebbe. So a certain tzeduki, and in the standard printed Gemaras it says tzeduki, and it's really supposed to be mina. Many times the censor has changed it. But in any case, a certain tzeduki or a certain min said to Rebbe, Mishi yotza horim le bara ruach. It would seem from Sukkim that the one who created the mountains did not create the wind, or Misha bara ruach le yotza horim, and the one who created the wind did not form the mountains. Dichtik, because the pasuk says, Kihine yotza horim uvara ruach. The pasuk says, behold, the one who forms the mountains and creates the wind. So it sounds like, so this min, the minim in those times, would dig on the idea that there are two gods, chas v'shalom. So therefore, so he's trying to bring a proof from this pasuk to Rebbe. We find in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that they brought up the same thing to Rav Gamliel, Rebbe's grandfather. So now, and then Rav Gamliel answered him with the same thing that Rebbe's going to answer now. Rav Gamliel gives him a different answer. But anyway, the point is that so this guy wanted to claim that there were two Getchkes, two gods. Amalei, so Rebbe tells him, Shoyte, you fool, shuffle the sefer dekra. Look at the end of the pasuk, the continuation. It continues, Hashem Tzvakas Shemai. His name is Hashem Tzvakas. So yes, it is all the same one. Hashem, who rules over all the hosts above and below, and he created all the different things. So it's not two different, so it's not two different gods or anything like that. Omalei, so the min says, Nekotli zim neplosi yevi, give me 3 days to think this over, and I'm going to give you an answer. So this was obviously, the Sefer Dura sort of showing him, Sefer on Jewish history points out, and we're not Stan talking about, you know, they're playing around with psukim or whatever. Obviously there were big things going on over here. If this tzduki or min or whatever he was really is able to prove his point and Rebbe wouldn't have an answer for him, then he would have a basis to go in and tell the Romans that, you know what, the Jewish religion itself doesn't make sense and you should outlaw it or something. And meanwhile, if he fails, then he's going to fail in that whole life's mission of his. So this is serious business over here. So the guy says, I need 3 days to think of an answer. Yosef Rebbe Tlas Tani says the Rebbe was sitting and fasting for 3 days that Hashem should have Rachmanus and the guy shouldn't be able to come back with an answer. So one point is, you know, that it would be a chil Hashem if Rebbe, the leader of the Jewish people, couldn't come up with a valid answer. It could be there could end up being whole things for the entire future of the Jewish people were hanging on this. The Rebbe is fasting for 3 days that this guy shouldn't come back with a good answer. Ki have a kaboy mivra, when he was about to break his fast, bora, in printed Gemaras it says mivrach, but that's a mistake. It's supposed to be mivra, where the word bora in Lashon Kodesh and here in Aramaic as well means to have a meal. Means to have like a light meal. So Rebbe was going to break his fast with a meal. The members of his household told him, Mina Kori Abava, there's a min standing at the door. And where they thought it was the same min. Omar, so Rebbe says, Oyve, as the pasuk says, Vayitnu Bavarusi Roshogem. In my food, they put poison. So here I'm about to eat food. Barusi, the same shadow as Mivra, and they're putting in it poison that now this guy is here and then poison or something bitter or whatever, and now I'm gonna have to deal with the guy. Maharshal points out, Minos itself is called in the pasuk Rosh. Pen Yeshbacham Shodash Pura Rosh Falana. You may have among you, Moshe tells the Jewish people, somebody among you who has a heart full of Minos, a mind full of Minos, and it's like a and it's like a root that produces gall and bitterness and poison. So now So therefore, so look at this. When I'm about to have Barusi, then along comes the guy who has the Rosh, the Min. Well, it turned out it was a different Min. Omale, so the guy says, Rebbe, Mivasa Tovas, Anilach, Rebbe, I'm giving you good news. Lemotha Tshuva Oyivcha, your enemy, the guy who first came up with the challenge, couldn't find a good answer, Benochem, and Agagu Mes, and he fell off the roof and died. So you're rid of him now. So again, you know, obviously it wouldn't have just been for Sam a challenge like that. Here the guy realized he's not going to be able to refute Rebbe, and therefore like his whole worldview crumbled and he has nothing left to live for. There was an interesting half on this in a sefer that said that part of the reason why Rebbe had to fast and why he's so worried about the outcome of it is because Rebbe realized afterward that he had slightly misquoted the pasuk. The actual pasuk says Hashem Elokei Tzvakas Shemai. Now Hashem Tzvakas would mean Hashem Tzvakas is a name of Hashem, but fine, in the simple sense, Tzvakos just means the hosts of heaven and earth. So it means Hashem is the one, unitary one, who rules over the Tzvakos, who rules over the hosts of heaven and earth. But the actual expression of the pasuk is Hashem Elokei Tzvakos Shemai. There's two names of Hashem over there. So the Min could have seized on that and said, hey, look at that. There were actually two names there, Hashem and Elokei. So now when the guy left after the first time, Rebbe is pashut fasting and davening to the Eibishter that the guy shouldn't pick up on that. So now when he came, now when the second Min came and told him that the guy actually committed suicide and rather than coming up with that, so Rebbe realized he had been helped. He's very grateful for that. Well, after all, the second Min was acting as a Yid, so Rebbe had no choice but to pretend he, on the one hand, now when he doesn't want to give him an opportunity to do the mitzvah of benching, but on the other hand, he can't outright deny him either. So Rebbe tells him, would you like to join me for a meal? Omalei came. And the guy says, yes. You know, again, Rebbe had to be polite to him. After all, he just brought him good news. So after they ate and drank, and Omalei, and Rebbe says, he has to treat him to a certain extent like a Yid, but on the other hand, Rebbe doesn't want to give him the honor that a Yid should get of leading benching. So he says, would you like to join me in the Kos Shal Bracha? Meaning, in other words, also not to lead benching, rather, I'll lead benching, and you'll answer amen. I'll lead benching, you'll answer amen, and you'll be saying amen four times, and therefore you'll get that schus, or do you want 40 gold coins instead? So in other words, Rebbe would really prefer that the guy should not answer amen. Rebbe would really prefer that the guy should leave without that. So therefore he tells him, do you want to stay here for benching? Or if you leave before benching, then I'll give you 40 gold coins. There was an explanation, maybe he gives a different explanation that Rebbe was saying that you might have to leave benching, but you know, and Rebbe was kind of saying, I prefer not, I'm willing to pay you 40 gold coins to forego that. So the guy says, Kostra Bracha, and he says, I would rather drink the Kostra Bracha, meaning in other words, I'd rather stay here for benching and answer Omen and get that schutz. So even though the guy was a Min, he still recognized the importance of Brachas and the importance of mitzvahs like that. Yotza Baskol Omra, in fact, Baskol came out and announced, Kostra Bracha, Shavah Aboyim Zehuvim. You should know the Kostra Bracha, benching is taka worth 40 gold coins. So now the point is, again, we were discussing the question. We said that a person taking away somebody else's opportunity to do a mitzvah owes him 10 gold coins. So the question is, if the mitzvah or the bracha, so now we say, so with benching, then you have 4 brachas involved. So therefore, that would be 40 gold coins. So there's your answer. Therefore, so if a person takes away an opportunity for a mitzvah from somebody else, then he has to pay him according to the number of brachas that would have been said. So in the case of Kisi Adam, which is what we started with, there's only one bracha. So then he pays him ten. He has to pay him 10 gold coins. In the case of benching, where there were four brachas, then he has to pay him 40. Actually, the Shach points out on this in Choshen Mishpat, he says, wait a minute, are there 5 brachas? There's also the bracha on Bor Priyagofen afterwards. So first he says, well, listen, you know, not necessarily is benching always done with a kos, but first of all, actually, Tosfos starts by pointing out that there should be the bracha Bor Priyagofen. So Tosfos says, okay, listen, you know, not everybody holds that you need to do birkas hamazon a la kos, so that might not have been in this case. On the other hand, the fact that he says the expression kos shel bracha suggests that not. So the Shach on Shulchan Aruch points out, first of all, you could say that maybe it's only for the brachas d'oraisa. So therefore, and the fourth bracha mentioned, the bracha tova meitiv was made by the chachamim later on, so maybe that wouldn't count. Then he says maybe a different answer is we're not counting the bracha bor prayer gofen because that's birkas amnanin. That's a bracha that you say for the fact that you're enjoying from Hashem's world, and therefore you have to make a bracha before you do it. So that wouldn't count, but you do have the four brachas of benching. Anyway, so the guy was willing to forego 40 gold coins, which is an enormous amount of money, rather than forego the bracha. So we see that even though he was a min, he still had that respect for Torah. So the Gemara says, Amar Yitzchak, Adayim Yeshin Lo Isim Mishpacha Be'Gdoli Roimi. You should know that family, the descendants of that family, are still found among the great people of Rome, Mekorinos and Mishpachas Balulianos, and they call it the family of Balulianos. That's in other words, so ultimately the guy was a min, so ultimately he and his family assimilated among the Goyim, but Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, even a couple of generations later, they were still recognizable, these are the descendants of that min who had brought this good news to Rebbe, but on the other hand, they were assimilated among the Goyim, and they were considered among the nobles of Rome rather than among the nobles of the Jewish people. So you kind of see over here the tragedy of what happened with the minim, where on the one hand, they considered themselves Jews enough that this guy comes to Rebbe and gives him the good news that the other one challenged him, committed suicide, and he's willing to forego an enormous amount of money rather than forego the opportunity to say Amen after Brachas. And yet, on the other hand, because they weren't committed to Torah, because they had their own distorted ideas of what the Torah is, and they ended up assimilating among the Goyim. The Mishnah goes, and so that's the story, in other words. So the bottom line is that, yes, if a person takes away the opportunity from somebody else to do the mitzvah of Kisi Adnan, then he owes him 10 zehuvim for that. Again, somebody showed him, learned that it doesn't mean dafka 10, it just means whatever amount the dayan fixes in that particular case. It was 10, but it could be different amounts depending on circumstances. Others say it's always a fixed 10. And we're saying over here, it really depends on the number of brachas. The Shach mentions in that connection, because of this story, people came up with an expression. People used to say, when you honor somebody else with leading benching, that you've honored him with 40 gold coins, based on the Gemara that was saying that benching is worth 40 gold coins. Okay. The Mishnah said, "Ki soho v'nisgala." The Mishnah had said that if you covered the blood for Kisi Adam and then it got with dirt and then it got uncovered, then you pause it to do it again. So the Gemara says, why should it be different than the case of Ashava Saveda? To Amamar, where we learn elsewhere, it's Gemara in Bava Metzia, that Rava says over there, Hoshev Afilu Meir Pamim, the Gemara discusses over there that the Mishnah says over there that if you return something, let's say you return an animal and then it ran away again, and you keep on returning it and it keeps on running away, you have to return it as many times as necessary. So first the Gemara argues over there that it should be, because the Pasuk says Hoshev Teshive, and the double expression means to do it again and again. But Rava says, no, the word Hoshev itself, being an infinitive, means as many times as necessary. From Deshivim, we learn a different thing. So once we say that Hoshev means as many times as necessary, then by the same thing, and it's a Hoshev for the Meir Pamin. So the same thing over there, the Torah says, the Chisahu, maybe it should mean cover it as many times as necessary. Amalei, Siravashi says the difference is Hosam Leksiv Mi'uta. There's no Mi'ut to say that you just have to return it one time. Hosam Mi'uta, V'chisohu, because the Hebrew, there is a Mi'ut, because the Torah says you should cover it. So that implies that so if it said V'chisoh, then yeah, it would mean he has to do it again and again. But once it says V'chisohu, you should cover it, means he has to cover it once, and once it was covered, once he covered it, then it just means he just has to do the one Kisui and then that's that. Okay, the Mishnah said, Ki sohu haruach. On the other hand, if the wind covered it, then you do have to cover it. So what does that mean? Amar Rav Abachana, Amar Bechanan, Lo Shonu, Abba Shechazim Nisgala. That would apply only if it became uncovered. Abba Lo Shechazim Nisgala, but if it didn't get uncovered, as long as it remains covered with dirt, Potter Malachasas, then you're Potter from doing the Kisri, because it's covered. So the Gemara asks, so, and if it becomes uncovered, why should it be required to do Kisi Adam? Has it been pushed off? Once you have it was covered by the wind, at that point it's unavailable to do the mitzvah. So now we should say, even if it becomes available again, the opportunity has been lost. Why would we say at that point, while it was covered, it was unavailable for the mitzvah, and so we should assume afterwards that now it's still considered it was pushed off. And it's no longer available for the mitzvah. So the answer is Amar Papa, Zayis HaMeres, and Dichri Eitzel Mitzvahs. You see that when it comes to mitzvahs, there's no din of Dichri. Sometimes we say about Korbanos. We can say about Korban, we learned in Mizvachim and Menachos, we have certain cases where a Korban becomes possible, and then it remains possible even after the circumstances change. But with other mitzvahs, it's not like that. Even something was unavailable for a while, then it still becomes available. It can become available again. There is a relevant Gemara in Sukkah on this, where the Gemara discusses this point of yesh tichri etzel mitzvahs or not, and the Gemara says it's a suffix over there. So over here the post can say, even though you do have to cover it, you shouldn't make a bracha because it's a suffix whether yesh tichri or not. So here the Papa is saying in tichri etzel mitzvahs, but it still doesn't mean maybe that you should be making the bracha. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My Shana Mehod Tanya Hashechet the Nivla Dam B'Kat B'Chayv L'Chatzes." Fine, but why is it any different than a case where it says that if a person shechted and the blood got absorbed into the ground, you still have to do Kisi Adam, and there the Pashkus is covered by the ground, and the answer is not completely covered. Hossam Shuvi Shumi Nicker. There you're talking about, you still see a stain of blood on the ground, so therefore there's still what to cover with. Here we're talking about Yisov HaRuach; it's completely covered, and you can't tell where it is, so then you can't do Kisui. And so only if the wind uncovers it, then you have an opportunity to do kisui again, but otherwise not. Fine. The Mishnah says, Dam shenis arav b'mayim. What happens if the blood of the shechita gets mixed with water? Now we learned previously that we had yesterday the story of Rav Chiya and his flax, where their Rebbe told him to do it into the pit of water where he was soaking his flax, but that's the whole point. Over there he needed the blood as an insect repellent, and we discussed how he has to do it in order to avoid the need of Kisi Adam in the first place. Here we're talking about that a person shafted normally into a pit in the ground or whatever to keep his yard clean, and now it got mixed. Now let's say water flowed into there and got mixed with it. So, in yesh by maris dam, if it has the appearance of blood, chayav l'chasis, then he has to do kisi adam, otherwise not. Tosfos discusses that it doesn't just mean the appearance of blood, as in it has a little bit of a reddish tinge. It would actually have to be that there's enough blood in the mixture that it still looks like it has the consistency of blood. So then he'd be chayav, but otherwise, even just that it has a reddish tinge to it would not be reason enough, and he'd be potter. What about nisar b'yayin? What about if it got mixed up with wine and wine is red, so you're not going to be able to tell? Royin oisek ilu humayin. Then we consider that wine as though it was water. We figure out if this quantity of water would have been enough to be mevatel. If this is an equivalent quantity of water, if that would have been enough to be mevatel the appearance of blood from this blood, then it's potter. Otherwise, it's still chayiv. What about nisar b'dam of behema? What about if it gets mixed up with blood of a behema? Of a domestic animal, where throughout this paddock we've been saying that Kisi Adam doesn't apply to domestic animals. And Rashi adds that we're talking about that the majority was the blood of an animal, of a domestic animal. Or it gets mixed up with blood of a chaya that did not come from shechita, but for example, let's say Rashi says it came from bloodletting a wild animal. And that blood is not chayiv in kisi adam. The Rambam gives a different explanation. It can mean adam, it can mean a chayat tmeya, it can mean a non-kosher wild animal. Anyway, again, roi noisi kilo in mayim. Again, you consider it as though it was water, and you figure out whether this quantity of water would be enough to be mevatel the appearance of blood. Rabbi Yehuda in that last case argues and says in dam mevatel dam, blood is not mevatel blood. Because min b'minoy is not bottle, and he considers all blood is considered to be the same min. We learned about this in Zvachim. We had that case where there were blood of kodshin mixed up with other blood, and Rabbi Yehuda said it's not bottle. And we discussed over there, you have in the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol mixes up the blood of the par and the blood of the sur, and a par has a much greater volume of blood than a sur, and still it's not mevatel one another. So Rabbi Yehuda generalizes from that and says that blood is not mevatel blood. So the same thing over here. So the same thing over here then, Rabbi Yehuda said that one is not mevatel another. Tosfos has a long discussion about various ins and outs of that, about when we would say that one thing is mevatel another, when it's the same in and not. The Ran has a fascinating point about it in Sefer Nedarim. He said the idea behind min meminon, what he says actually there as far as he talks about there, as far as Dovashi Yashle Matirin, why is it that something that could later on, that will later on, has a chance of becoming mutter, like for example an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, why it's not bottle? Because the Dovash Yeshle Matirin, after Yom Tov Rovi Mutter, and he develops the idea over there because of the Yeshle Matirin, then it means essentially you're talking about two things that are the same min, and min b'min er le'bottle. So here Rabbi Yehuda is saying that specifically about blood, but we have other examples like that where one min, where even the Chachamim are going to agree that min b'min er le'bottle, and therefore that's an example of that. So over here Rabbi Yehuda considers it all the same min, and therefore one is not mevatel the other. Okay. The Mishnah continues, Daman Nitaz. If blood squirts out, so he has like a pit where he was going to shecht into, in order to keep his yard clean. Now, we did learn earlier in the Sefer that you're not supposed to shecht into a pit because that's the way the minim did, because like we said before, they would collect the blood in order to attract shadim or whatever. But what you can do is you can shecht, you can have like a little groove, you can shecht in an area and then you have a groove to where the blood will flow down into a pit. And here you have, so he did that, but then some of the blood squirted elsewhere. Vashala sakin, or blood that's left on the blood that's left on the knife. So chayav l'chassas, he does have to cover it as well. In the case of the knife, he would have to scrape it off first, because as we learned at the beginning of the parak, you have to have dirt below and dirt above, and you don't have it here because it's directly on the knife. So he'd have to wipe it off or scrape it off the knife, and then do kissy with him. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Emesai, but Rabbi Yehuda says, when is that? And here, when Rabbi Yehuda says Emesai, unlike in the ratio of the Mishnah where he's arguing, here he was not arguing, he's just clarifying Emesai, when would that be? Because man changed from dam elahu, only when that's the only blood available, then you need to do kisi adam with those. Aber yes, from dam shalohu, but if you have other blood available, potter malachasis, then you need potter for that. He just covers the main blood. And that's good enough. He doesn't have to do the little bit that's squirted or the little bit that's on the knife. We'll learn that. We'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow. Baz Hashem, more about that. Why Rabbi Yehuda said that? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not necessary to do kisei adam of all the blood, whereas the Chachamim say that you do. So we'll see about that more in the Gemara tomorrow, Baz Hashem. But first, let's deal with this matter of, we're talking about when blood got mixed up with water over the various other liquids. So the Gemara says Tnanhas, and we learned in Zvachim on this point. Damshness out of the name, if the blood of Kodshin, that's supposed to be sprinkled on a Mizdeach, got mixed up with water, in Yeshbe Maris Dam, if there's an appearance of blood to it, and again, like Tosfos says, it doesn't just mean an appearance of blood, it just means that it has a little bit of a reddish color, it means that it actually looks like blood. Kosher, then it's kosher to still sprinkle on the Mizbeach, and the korban will still be kosher. And we said over there, if the blood got mixed up with water with wine, and like I said, in our mission over here, we consider that wine as though it was water, and we figure out how much water versus how much blood there is. If it got mixed up with the blood of a behema or a chaya, a behema of cholin or a chaya, which is a flower, which flower can't be used as a korban, Rashi actually has an interesting expression. Rashi says, Chayim Mamish to stomach cholin. In general, it's cholin, so it almost makes it sound as though you could have a case of chaya, which is not cholin, which is a little hard to understand because a chaya can't be, by definition, brought as a korban. So what does Rashi mean when he says stomach cholin? Maybe Rashi just means, in other words, as opposed to conceivably, it could be kodshe betek abayis, but that doesn't really matter. Kodshe betek abayis, still the blood is not sprinkled on the mizbeach. In any case, the point is, you have over here, you have, it was mixed up with blood of a behemoth or a chaya, which are not korbanos. So the Mishnah said, again, roi no sekiru mayim, you consider it as though it was water, and you see would this be enough water to be mevatel the appearance of it. And again, Rabbi Yehuda Omein, dam mevatel dam. And again, Rabbi Yehuda says there, like he says in the mission over here, blood is not mevatel blood, and therefore even if it's so much of the other liquid that you wouldn't be able to tell that this was blood, nevertheless Rabbi Yehuda says it's not bottle. So the Gemara says, Amr Abchiva Abba Amr Abyechanan, Loshanu El Shanafu Mayim Lasech Dang. This whole din would apply only if the water fell into the blood. So every time a little bit of water falls, every drop of water that falls in becomes bottle.
And therefore, as long as it's the whole mixture still has the appearance of blood, then it'll still be kosher to sprinkle on the mizbeach. And there, and in the case of our mission over here, it'll require kisi adam. Abel nafal dam l'sech mayin. But he says if blood falls into the water, just the opposite. Rishin mishin bottle. As each drop of blood falls in, it becomes bottle. And then, even though you have eventually so much falls in that eventually you have it has the appearance of blood. Nevertheless, though it's called, nevertheless it was pushed off. And therefore it's bottle, and therefore so we don't even say chozev. Sometimes we have in halacha a concept called chozev anir, that something becomes awakened again and becomes also. We're going to talk about it later on in our masechta as far as certain dinim of taruvus where isur and heter get mixed together. Sometimes you may have a small amount of isur which became bottle, and then you have more of the same isur is added. Sometimes we say chozev anir. It's as if like it woke up again and it becomes also, because eventually now you have enough of a larger amount of isur that's not bottle. So here we don't say that. Here we don't say that the blood, once it was bottle, is going to become unbottle. Says Rabbi Chiya Abba, we wouldn't say that. So in other words, as blood falls into the water, then it's going to be bottle. And even eventually, enough blood falls in, and now it looks like blood. You still can't sprinkle it on the mizbeach. However, I'm going to pop it in kisi in a cane. However, the papa says for kisi, as far as kisi adam, if not so. Ain't dichri eitz mitzvahs, like we said on Amar Aleph, there's no dichri by mitzvahs. By korbanos, you can say there's dichri. So you have there, the blood was unavailable to use for the sprinkling because a small amount of it had fallen into the water. So even when a larger amount falls in, then you can say, then you can say it's bottle and it doesn't become unbottle afterwards. But by other mitzvahs, we don't say that. And therefore, even though there was a period of time when it was unavailable, nevertheless, it still becomes available again, and therefore, once you have enough blood in the mixture that it looks like blood again, then in fact you do need to do kisi adam. Because ein dichri eitz mitzvahs. One thing is also there's a difference whether we're talking about a small amount fell in at a time versus the Gemara elsewhere talks about if you have a larger amount falls in at one time, then that's a different matter, then you can't say there is bottle in the first place. And yeah, there's quite a lot of different opinions of Rishonim about the exact mechanism of chozev anir and when we would say yes and when we would say no. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kol mare ad mumis, whenever it has a red appearance, machaprin, then it can be machaper, you can sprinkle it on the mizbeach, or machshirin, and it'll work to be machshir, to be machshir food, to be makabal truma, because blood is one of the shiva machshirin, so if it touches food, then it makes it susceptible to truma. The Gemara is going to ask in a minute, wait a minute, if it was mixed with water is also machshir, makabal truma, who cares? So we'll see about that in a minute. B'chayoven, b'kisri, and you will do kisri adam with it. So in other words, he's saying it's not just, if it looks solidly like blood, it's rather just as long as it has the reddish appearance. Well, the Gemara asked, "My Kamach Malan, what is Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush in the name of Shmuel? What's the chiddush? Mechaper and Tamina, the fact that you can do mechaper with it, we just learned. We said, oh no, we're not going to say Marad Mumis means a little bit of reddish tinge. It's going to mean, like Tosfos had said, it means that it actually still looks like blood. But nevertheless, in that case, we learn already that point that you can still sprinkle it on the mizbeach and mechaper. It says that already in the Mishnah from the Zvachim that we just quoted. Chayavim bekisi tamina. And as far as that requires kisi adam, you have on Mishnah. So what is Shmuel's chiddush? The answer is machshirin. It's yichalei fine. His chiddush is about that it can make food susceptible to tumah. So therefore, Shmuel is saying that no, as long as it has a reddish color, so you know, fine, we are talking about when it has a reddish color. So in other words, he would disagree. So yeah, we're talking about that. So unlike we said before, that it would mean that it has to have a solid red color like blood, then fine. He's telling us that it means even if it has a reddish tinge, then it would still be chayav. But the point is, we could learn as far as kodshin, as far as kisi adam, we can learn that from the respective mishnayos, but he means what machshirin, we don't know from elsewhere, so therefore Shmuel has to tell us that. So Gemara says, "Machshir nami." When it comes to making susceptible to tumah as well, idam machshiri machshiri, my machshiri machshiri. And what's the difference? Both blood and water are among the shiva machshim, and therefore, so whether you're going to follow the blood, you have something that's machshir the kabel tumah. Whether you're going to follow the water, same thing. So what's the difference? And the answer is like Tzuch Hashatim Din Meg Shamin. Yes, but Shmuel's Din is necessary. The Chiddush is when he mixed, when the blood got mixed with rainwater. Now, the rainwater, he didn't specifically, rainwater is Machshir, but only if you were Machshir of it. Only if you wanted it to fall on the food. Sechta Machshirin deals with many such dinim. The rule is, in other words, that you have the rule of the Masechta Machshirin begins. Rashi says, Rashi quotes it over here. Any liquid, any of the Shiva Mashkin, where you wanted to begin with, you had a reason to consider it significant at the beginning, even though later on you didn't do, even though later on you didn't want it to wet the food. Nevertheless, it's Machshir Kabel Chomer, as opposed to rainwater. You didn't have anything involved with it. You didn't have any involvement with it falling. It fell on its own. So you don't have tchilas of the rotzen. So unless you have soif of the rotzen, for example, you put the fruit out there specifically because you want it to get wetted with the rainwater, then it wouldn't be mukshal the kabel chomer. So that's the point. If you have blood outside and if fruit falls in, if produce gets wet with that blood, it will be mukshal the kabel chomer because you put the blood there to begin with intent, and therefore it would be mukshal the kabel chomer, even though later on you didn't want the food to fall into it. But if now that blood gets mixed with rainwater, then the rainwater didn't fall l'rotzen, and then the fruit didn't fall in it l'rotzen, and therefore you wouldn't have, if you have enough rain that's mevatel the appearance of the blood, then therefore it wouldn't be moksha l'kabel chomer. That's Shmuel's point. Tosfos points out, I mean, you don't need that. Also, you could say that, let's say it was mixed with made pears, let's say it was mixed with orange juice or something. Orange juice is not one of the Shiva Mashkin, but okay, the point is, in other words, that as long as the blood was mixed with something which is not moksha l'kabel chomer. So they want to ask, make shaman nami, but you can ask about rainwater also. Is it in fact that it just happened by itself? Given the shock of a rami, presumably we're talking about that he took the rainwater in a keli and poured it into the blood. Actually, so with that, it shows that he made it chosho. It shows that he did an action to make it chosho. So it should be machshir l'kabel chomer. And the answer is, we're not talking about where he deliberately poured in the rainwater over there. We're talking about that it developed on its own. He had a container of blood out there, and then rain fell and got mixed up with the blood. So now Shmuel is telling us that once there's enough rainwater in it that the mixture no longer looks like blood, and therefore it's not machshir l'kabel chomer. Okay, so that would be Shmuel's Chiddush, and then while he's mentioning that, and he mentions also about Machapirin and Chayobim Bekisu, even though those we have from the respective Mishnayos. The Gemara says, Rav Asi from Naharbil, Omer, Rav Asi from Naharbil gives a different answer. We're not talking about rainwater at all, we're talking about the slelt of the Dhamma. We're talking about the clear fluid of the blood, the plasma of the blood. So Rashi describes, if you let blood sit for a while and then it starts congealing, then a watery liquid will come out of it, which is the blood plasma. You have the red blood cells and white blood cells and whatnot, and then you have the liquid fraction of the blood, which is a yellowish, clearish liquid. So that we're talking about. So now you would think then that that's not considered blood. Nevertheless, though, we're saying as long as it looks like blood, then it's machshir l'kabel chomer because it's one of the Shiva Mashkin. But if not, if it doesn't have a red tinge at all, then it's not machshir, and it's not machshir l'kabel chomer. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yumi Medifti Omar, Rabbi Yumi Medifti says, you want to know something else about this plasma, about plasma from the blood, onush kores, if a person were to drink it, he would be high of kores just as if he drank blood itself. However, the Gemara says, well, who'd eat a kezayis? However, that would only apply if he ate a kezayis of it. Now, what does that mean? Usually a person needs to eat a kezayis in order to be chayiv in the first place. Rashi says what we mean is only if there's a kezayis of actual blood over there. In other words, you would have to have that of the red stuff. You would have to have. So in other words, so even though it comes from the blood, nevertheless, you would still have to have a kezayis, or as the Gemara is going to go on to say, for another din, or revius, you would need that there has to be of the actual, the whole kezayis, or the whole revius looks like blood. But in other words, the idea would be, in other words, even though all the slelt of the dhamma, even though this plasma all came from the blood, then it still wouldn't be enough to be mechayev and koris, or to trigger the other dinim that we're going to say, because the fact is you need an amount of it that actually looks like blood. So that would be the point, in other words, when we say, but who if it's kazayas, would be, in other words, if there's a kazayas of substance that actually looks like blood, then he's chayav karis also for drinking the tzlel to the dhamma, for drinking the blood plasma together with it, but you need to have that kazayas of that looks like blood. And masnisa tama, and in a braisa we learn metamim ba'oihel, that this tzlel to the dhamma, the blood plasma that comes from a dead body, will be metamim ba'oihel, just like the blood from a dead body is metamim ba'oihel, just like the body itself. And so that would apply to the tzlel to the dhamma. This would apply to this blood plasma as well. But again, b'hudi ikur revius, but they will see you need a minimum amount of it, namely you need a revius of it, which is the minimum amount to be metamid oil. So again, in other words, the idea would be that only when you have a revius or a kazayas respectively of full fledged blood, then it means, in other words, then the tzvel to the dhamma, then the blood plasma goes along with it as well. But goes along with it as well. This is all according to Rashi and Tosfos. The Rambam has a different understanding of it, which is that the Rambam seems to understand, at least the way Mephoshim, at least the Torah Skayim and others understand the Rambam, is that it means, in other words, that just the plasma itself has a din of blood. So the Rambam would learn that it means a person just ate a kezias of the plasma itself, even as long as it has any kind of, so even if it doesn't have a reddish tinge, the fact that it came from the blood is enough to be machayev and koris for it. And the same thing with tumas nes, we would say that as long as you have a revius of it, even though it doesn't have any reddish tinge, then nevertheless it would still be matame. It would still be matame boil. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow. Beis Hashem, the Gemara is going to continue talking about this point about blood being metamei ba'oichel, and about this din of a blood plasma and other kinds of liquids like that. And then we'll continue talking more about the din of kisei adam. Beis Hashem.